You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This feature is brought to you by the Standard Bank Group. 2025 has certainly been a roller coaster of a ride for investments and investment decisions. And along the way, investors have had to adjust how they approach investments. We're going to be taking a look at the behavioral patterns of investors throughout the 2025 year and what we can make sense of there. Joined on the line by the lead specialist for investment propositions at Standard Bank Group Investments, Brandon Naidu, to take a look at some of these investment trends and see what we make of them. Brandon, lovely to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. The year's certainly been quite the adventurous one for investors. Whether you're a seasoned investor, whether you're a novice investor, there has been a lot that has happened in this year. How have investors taken to investment decisions from a behavioral perspective?
Hi, Jimmy. Hi to your listeners. As you say, an eventful year, but don't we say that every year, right?
We too.
as if we've been saying that for a while. Look, I think this year has been unique in the sense that we've had both local and global issues at play. And investor behavior, surprisingly, hasn't changed. We still tend to listen to the noise that's happening globally and locally and make investment decisions based on that, which you and I know history tells us is not the way to go about things. So unfortunately, still making some of the old mistakes, if I can call it that.
Brandon, with everything that has been happening in the market, there has been an increase in volatility. There's been an increase in FOMO, people not wanting to miss out on the moves, people wondering if it's too late to get in. How has all of this affected what investors have been doing, or at least how they've been approaching their investments? We know that wherever money is involved, and particularly in the investment space, it is an emotional conversation.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to understand where this emotion or where this behavior comes from. And with money, I think a lot of that is our background, our upbringing. What relationship with money did we have growing up? Did we have too little, too much, as an example? I think that really impacts the behavior that we see today. And then, of course, as you say, watching social media and seeing others live their best life does give us that feeling of FOMO, and therefore you see decisions being made to try and keep up with the Joneses rather than perhaps listening to the more sound advice that comes from financial advisors or people in the financial sort of ecosystem. And unfortunately, the decisions that we've seen is people chasing onto trends. So the trend is your friend until the end, and unfortunately people have jumped onto investments that have either run really hard and bought in at the top, as it were. And traditionally, what we will end up seeing is people selling out as soon as that investment falls. And I think Investments 101 teaches us the quickest way to lose money is to buy high and sell low. And at occasions in this year, we have definitely seen that.
Brandon, you brought up two important things around wanting to get in on whatever trends are happening, but also alluding to the fact that we're seeing more and more investors taking decisions for themselves. I think we live in an age where technology allows for self-investment in a better way than it did perhaps 10 years ago, and that's fueling a completely different market because now everybody can get involved, which might not necessarily be a good thing if you think about things like portfolio weightings and how diversification builds into a portfolio. These are conversations that really you should be approaching with care and caution.
Look, I think there's positives to making investments as widely available as possible and ensuring that people can use their smartphone to invest, as an example. I think there's definitely positives behind that. However, as you clearly point out, it needs to be done responsibly. I think product providers out there also have a role to play in ensuring that some education is taking place with all clients to ensure that they understand what they're getting into, what are the potential benefits, what are some of the pitfalls, because the other side of the coin is, although a lot of this is positive, you could have people buying things they don't understand just because they look at a graph and see it went, you know, really high, really quickly, and I want some of that. So I think it's a bit of both. And I just want to say that even though lots of people have gone to self-directed investments, it's not the case that they are ditching their financial advisor in order to do that. Some of them still maintain that relationship with a financial advisor for, let's call it, their their core portfolio, their most important holdings, and then on the side, as it were, tend to go the direct route or the self-directed route.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with self-managed investments. Of course, it is part of the world that we live in today. Brandon, I want to take a look at the balance between the two. And balance, particularly from a decision-making perspective and a behavioral perspective. Can we get just some thoughts around the importance of striking that balance, number one, and being able to lean on the help of organizations like Standard Bank that actually offer behavioral guidance? I think those that are new to the investment world that don't understand things like emotional triggers would benefit from understanding that, hey, this is, you're not alone in this journey.
No, absolutely. And I think the balance that you speak about, let's think about what are the most important goals in a general person's life, right? So, of course, it's age dependent, depending on which stage of your life cycle you're in. You would have differing needs, but people think about long-term investments, things like retirement, some very short-term investments, things like having an emergency fund, saving for my kids' education. It could be, you know, a wedding, a house, a car. There's a variety of goals at play. So I think, number one, let's ensure we have a clear goal that we understand and that means something to us, because that's going to impact whether or not I'm sticky with this investment, right? So I have a clear goal, number one. Two, I need diversification. That word that that we all know, right? The word that we all know and understand. But it's interesting when you talk about diversification, like what does that really mean? What are you saying? Diversify locally and offshore, diversify across sectors, across industries, across geographies. Like that word can be really deep. And I think that when you truly understand what diversification can give you access to, it becomes a really strong point. And then after setting clear goals and after ensuring that there's diversification, I think review that. Review that on an ongoing basis, whether that's once a year or twice a year. Of course, if you've got a financial planning professional to do that review with you, who's unbiased, can give you that sort of bird's eye view on your overall portfolio, great. But if you have decided to do that review by yourself, that's also okay. But when you want to make changes, ask yourself the question, okay, have my goals changed? Because if your goals have changed, sure, then that warrants you going in and making some changes in your overall investment. But if those goals have not changed and the underlying fund managers, as an example, are doing exactly what they're supposed to, that doesn't warrant a switch. So the so-called switch or stay conundrum, which is what a lot of investors find themselves in, should be answered with the end goal in mind. And when you're doing these reviews and you have these questions top of mind, let's remember we only should be switching if I've changed a goal or my overall strategy has changed, or I've got an underperforming manager over the long term across different cycles, not two or three bad months. That's not the decision.
Understanding your behavioral patterns could potentially be the difference between achieving your long-term investment goals and making some really interesting investment decisions. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Thanks so much to the lead specialist for investment propositions at Standard Bank Group Investments, Brandon Naidoo, for joining us to take a look at investment behavior. This feature was brought to you by the Standard Bank Group.
When you're growing your money, you need to make the right choices. That's why at Standard Bank Private, we offer the best of everything. Our offshore investments are award-winning. We'll give you the best Forex rates around. As SA's biggest home loan provider, we offer unmatched expertise, and you'll have access to the best financial planners and bankers. So why not visit standardbank.co.za to join Africa's best private bank today? Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.